They just keep on reporting, taking interviews, gathering opinions, promoting panels for debate. They call it debate. 24 million people watched it anyway. No, it's not about the state of the economy. No, ugly political ads. Well, surely it must be about ISIS in Iraq, or the murder of the Somalis, or the crucifixion of Christians. Perhaps it's about Afghanistan, the Iran Treaty. Well, alas, our headlines are about Dr. Bill of Identity Thieves and Diet Soda losing its flavor and the sexual infidelities of a Michigan Assembly persons. Years ago here at First Church, we had a talented pianist join our fellowship. Brian Jones had been the accompanist for Elvis Presley. Marriage and family led him to the place to leave the King and settle down. He was a very kind man, Brian shared. He gave him a Cadillac that he drove, and the concert grand piano in his home, which was a challenge to get it in the house. Brian was with him from the very beginning when he was with the Blackwood Brothers and singing gospel songs. Elvis went to the big stage, had everything money could buy, struggled with faith. He started in stargazing, numerology, astrology, healing, the occult. But he wasn't part of that street front church I saw in Seattle, the Church of Elvis Presley. Elvis died, abused, overindulged, mismanaged his body, destroyed by those same forces that took a Marilyn Monroe, a Judy Garland, Kurt Cobain, Michael Jackson, Robin Williams, Bobby Christina Brown, and her mother. It was a Frank and Ernest cartoon. I like Frank and Ernest. And the two of them were riding down a road, and there was an arrow up ahead that said, Road to Success. But another sign was farther ahead. It said, Be prepared to stop. In this world that prizes bigness, we need to be reminded, as Schumacher opined, small is beautiful. In a world that worships speed, especially here, we need to be reminded to be stopped and smell the roses. God rested on the sixth, seventh day. Sabbath is beautiful. One of my favorite theologians is Leonard Sweet, and he suggests that a healthy lifestyle has to include a time for what he calls moodling, rest for the soul. Joseph Campbell, in his interview with Bill Moyers, confessed that most of his friends were living wasteland lives, baffled, wandering in a wasteland without any sense of the source that makes things green. Tom Wolfe's novel, Bonfire of the Vanities, has taken on new life with the events on Wall Street and politics. In his novel, Wall Street broker Sherman McCoy expresses the loss of everything he's worked so hard for. He says, it's sobering how fast it goes when it goes. All those ties that make up your life, when it breaks, that's it. That's what Bernie Madoff and Joseph Netanyahu and others who joined the A-list in federal prisons found. For Campbell and Wolf are right. No matter how fast, vast your wealth, how numerous your possessions, how many your cars or whatever, fears and facts are all the same. The fear of growing old, the fear of losing health, home, the fear of being alone, the fear of dying, the fact of loneliness, the fact of rejection, emptiness, tiredness. Whether living in a wasteland, maxed out on materialism, or zoned out on drugs, Jesus Christ offers a place to stop. Explore those feelings within. There has got to be more to life than this. A place to ponder why. A place to get off the carousel of greater means and less meaning. A place to ponder why those who work with the frailest and neediest in our society are paid the least. A place to conquer the old man river syndrome. Fear to live, scared to die. A place to explore the difference between the right to do the right thing and doing the right thing. A place to stop, to move. What is your deepest treasure? With all their memorabilia and treasures, either Elvis, or Michael, or Robin, or anyone else on this planet has found meaning to life without faith, faith in God. Our scripture says, Paul calling us into a life that's worthy of that calling, to love the Lord in hope, to feel the word of God in bones, to participate in this new kingdom, the flames burned it. In the absence of a burning bush or a blinding light or a voice that claims us, how do we know for sure God is calling? That's where our faith comes in, to pray without ceasing. She goes on, I don't know when the hand of God is laid on the shoulders of our lives, but we know. And we're bold enough to say, here am I, send me. I can do everything through him who gives me strength, David sang. So create in me a pure heart. You recall the gospel? That's of another generation. See more clearly, love more dearly, follow more nearly. But I'm a representative of what's called the wrinkled generation. So let me share these words with Tom McKeown called the kind of loving. You young children and young people speak a different language, dream different dreams, march to a different drummer than I. But we have one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one calling, to be an imitator of God, to live a life worthy of God's love. To see more clearly, this world is not as God would have it to be. We know that. From teenagers tried to death by suicide or speeding autos, robbed by shootings or roadside bombs, from the utter despair of marketplaces in the Middle East to children living in poverty in America, from prime time feast of sex and violence. We must see beyond the grateful dead, the dueling megastars, the prostituted coked or angel dusted. For this world hungers for a truth to set them free. And my friends, we know the truth. Jesus Christ sets us free as we become imitators of God. To love more clearly. Another oldie. Baccarat. Remember Baccarat? Lord, we don't need another mountain. There are mountains and hillsides enough to climb, oceans and rivers enough to cross, enough to end the end of time. Lord, we don't need another meadow. There are cornfields and wheat fields enough to grow, sunbeams and moonbeams enough to shine. Lord, if you want to know what the world demands is love, sweet love. God heard the songs of his exiles. He hears them from generation to generation. God called Abraham. God chose the people. God sent his son, love marked by a cross. And it reaches out to everyone on this planet, saying, repent. Turn your life to God. Be baptized. Receive the water of life in the Spirit. Scripture teaches us that the Spirit blows where it will. To live in the Spirit is to ride the winds. Doesn't that sound neat? Ride the winds. Letting the Spirit blow through us until we become God's instruments with songs of praise. Are we in control of our lives? Or is God? The hardest things to learn in this life are when to be rigid and when to relax, when to bring things in order and when to live in chaos, when to be stubborn and when to be loose, when to make things happen and let things happen, when to hold on, when to let go, when to change, and when to be open, when to trust the tide to take you safely home. Through faith, Christ in our hearts, we make love the power upon which our lives are rooted and grounded, so that we may follow more nearly. For Jesus brushes aside the feelings of helplessness and hopelessness. For what is impossible with me is possible with God. He said, come to me. I will refresh you. Come as you are. I will forgive you. Come as a child. I will instruct you. Elizabeth Ackermeyer asserted, our society's sickness is that it knows no divine commandment nor desires any sanctification. It seeks life apart from God, who is the sole source of life. It is searching for freedom, but is unwilling to bear a cross. It wants a story to live by, but it will not learn this story. She blames the pulpit for dispensing therapy, psychology, or the latest social opinion instead of proclaiming the word of God. As we close our service this morning, we close it with a famous hymn. We'll sing it again as we have the resurrection story for Dick Smith. Newton, calling himself a wretch, said he was lost and blind. Engaged in the practice of capturing and transporting African natives to be sold as slaves. One day the grace of God put fear in his heart. He read Thomas A'Kempis' Imitation of Christ and was led to conversion. Influenced by John and Charles Wesley, George Whitefield, he became a minister of the Church of England and served in the church in Olney, England. John Newton, assisted by his friend William Cowper, wrote a number of hymns. In 1779, they produced the Olney Hymns Hymnal, and it contained a hymn entitled Amazing Grace. Near his death, he was quoted as saying, "My memory is nearly gone." Some of us can feel that one. But I remember two things. I'm a great sinner. And Jesus Christ is a great Savior. Amazing grace. The word is here. Come unto me, all you who are overburdened. I will give you rest. May God grant to each one of you the strength and the courage so to do. For to God be all the glory.